I want to show you all the exact moment that Donald Trump secretly snuck on to a catering truck in Turkey because the threat of an Iranian strike against his plane was high enough that his life was at risk. It is absurd to me that the President of the United States started a war that is so out of control that not only are Americans at risk, not only have Americans died, not only are there currently cyber attacks happening against water treatment plants, but even the President of the United States is not safe. If he is not safe, what does that say about the safety of the rest of us? Let's watch this clip play out. On screen now, Trump boards Air Force One in Ankara, Turkey, about a month back. Right when he boards, the door is slid closed and he disappears into the plane. Only a few moments later, an airport catering truck can be seen parked right outside of the airplane. Then the media begins to board the plane on the right. As the media is boarding the plane, we see on the left that the airport catering truck is backing off. This is the truck that had Donald Trump hiding in the back in order to protect him from these Iranian threats. I was asked about this on CNN last night and I broke it down. Check out this clip.
New twist and new reaction to the extraordinary ruse to remove President Trump from Air Force One after a threat from the Iranians. By now, you have heard about the secret switch through a catering truck to another plane, which left members, some of the administration and the media, on the original plane as a decoy. Secretary of State Marco Rubio and Secretary of Treasury Scott Bessent were actually on the plane that the president left from. So there were still some pretty high-value targets, along with media and other members of the administration. Any new thoughts here, A, about the Iranian threat, or B, again, about this lingering question of leaving so many people on a plane not deemed safe enough for the president?
I just want to zoom out for a second. We've been told repeatedly that Iran's military was destroyed entirely. Their missile capacity and their ability to pose any threat has been destroyed. That's very clearly not true.
Well, now, this is a surface-to-air missile that's held by one person.
Well, it's kind of,
that's a huge
kind of
difference than talking about
Iran
the military
war
of Iran.
Has made all of us less safe. And this is one of those rare instances where Donald Trump is now experiencing the consequences of his actions. He can spike prices and be insulated. He can cut health care and be insulated. But this Iran war is making us all less safe. And it was under the guise of making America more safe. They are currently holding the Strait of Hormuz hostage, the entire oil flow hostage, while Trump has no way out of this.
There's been an Iranian
war
threat specifically against Trump for a very long time.
But now the American people are suffering.
And this is a major problem for Donald Trump. He has betrayed the American people so much so that we are all in more danger. 2 weeks ago, the Iranians hacked water treatment plants in Minnesota and multiple other states, and Donald Trump looked the other way. He actually blamed it on Tim Walz and Democrats, even though it was the Iranians. Our missiles are being depleted, and they are holding the Strait of Hormuz hostage. Many are saying that Trump is likely to be Jimmy Carter'd in the sense that Iran is going to inflict maximum damage. That is why Trump is getting desperate. That is why Trump is talking about stealing the midterms, potentially nationalizing the elections, and seizing ballot boxes. I mean, this entire administration is a mess. This clip of Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth is going mega viral because he wipes his nose, then runs his hand through his hair, and the telltale sign that usually happens when somebody does cocaine or some sort of drug. Now, we don't actually know, but I want you to watch this clip of Pete Hegseth. I mean, bro, the way he does it just makes him seem so incredibly locked in and wired. He just seems wired. And then in the next clip, he's sweating his ass off. There's also new reporting that Trump was going to sacrifice Marco Rubio to the Iranians by placing him on the decoy plane with the rest of the staff and only took Pete Hegseth with him. Listen to this. New from CBS. One cabinet secretary was on the secret plane with Trump, Pete Hegseth, when he employed a ruse to evade an Iran threat after the NATO summit. Two cabinet secretaries were on the decoy, the plane publicly identified as AF-1, Marco Rubio and Scott Bessent. The secretaries, who separated from the president and maintained the line of succession, were aware Trump was on another secret plane. Several White House aides were also on the aircraft without the president, including Stephen Miller, Will Scharf, Stephen Chung, Mike Needham, Monica Crowley. This idiot put himself, his entire cabinet, and all of the United States at risk with this war And now he knows he's going to lose. I really, really want to point out that Donald Trump is trying to nationalize and potentially steal the midterm elections. We need to go out there and we need to vote with fury. Watch this.
So let me put an idea in your head, okay? Because it's so hard to get the Senate to do anything, now they're on recess, they don't get anything done if they never get the Save America Act done. You have the right to declare a national security emergency for elections. And the Supreme Court ruled in 1983 under Reagan that INS versus Chadha, that if you declare a national security emergency as the president of the United States, they can't challenge it. It can only be overturned by a 2/3 vote of both houses of Congress. So if you do this in the next month, we will get photo ID, proof of citizenship, and a limit to mail-in ballots. And
let
you
me
don't
just
even
say the stranger things have happened. Okay, I'll leave it at that.
All right, we'll leave it at that.
He said stranger things have happened.
So when the president doesn't seem to explicitly rule out declaring some kind of national security emergency for the 2026 election, how concerned are Democrats or should voters be about some kind of shenanigans before, during, or after November 3rd?
You know where my mind goes? If you're trying to seize ballot boxes and potentially declare a national emergency, then you're not winning in the first place. Trump's authoritarianism is confirmation that he is unpopular. He has lied to the American people by starting a war that we can't get out of, by spiking gas prices, unemployment is up, wage growth is not matching inflation, and he has to face that fact. Rather than doing that, he's hiding behind these authoritarian moves. I'm a young dude, and I've spent all of my formative years growing up in an America where I see the president of the United States undermining the most important institutions that we have, a free and fair election. This means a lot to me. I like free and fair elections a lot. I like peaceful transfers of power. Every chance that Donald Trump gets, he tries to rig the midterms, undermine elections that he loses. It is disgusting and it's indefensible. Honestly, it's indefensible.
And I still stand by that. Every single act of authoritarianism from Donald Trump is a deeper and deeper concession that he is incredibly unpopular and his policies are failing. Again, you don't have to do this if you're winning. You don't have to seize ballot boxes if you are winning. He started an Iran war, which has backfired on him. We are now 165 days in. Gas prices have spiked. Inflation has spiked. Americans are in a worse position than they were when he took office, and those are just the facts. By the way, if you appreciate the videos on the Adam Mockler feed, it would mean the world if you drop a like and make sure you're subscribed. We have more debates coming. We have more breaking news videos coming, but this video is not over. On the other side of Donald Trump's failures, we have a Democratic Party that is reshaping itself through these primary elections. In Michigan, Abdul El-Sayed beat Haley Stevens. This is another case of a progressive candidate beating somebody who was viewed as an establishment candidate and was backed by the establishment. Last night in Wisconsin, in the governor's race, we saw Francesca Hong, a DSA candidate, actually get narrowly beat by Crowley, an establishment candidate. So there is still a very healthy debate happening, and I pointed this out last night as well.
I think this split in these primaries tells us there's a very healthy debate happening within the Democratic Party about the direction that it should go. We know one thing, that Democrats are very sick of the establishment. If you look at some polling, establishment Democrats poll at the same rate as Republicans. The Republican Party is uniquely unpopular, and so are establishment Democrats. So I see this reductive analysis where people say Democrats are turning into communists and socialists. No, we're looking for change agents that can present something different. And even the Michigan Senate race proves that there is a split amongst the party. Abdul El-Sayed is an explicit capitalist. He's a capitalist, and he ran against a capitalist, and it was a very competitive race. So I reject this idea that the Democratic Party is being taken over by socialism. And I think that there is a very healthy conversation happening.
I wonder why you describe it as healthy. I mean, some of these candidates who describe themselves as progressive, some of them who are much more DSA adjacent, have been pretty explicit about the contempt that they have for a lot of establishment Democrats. They talk about them the way you would expect them to talk about Republicans and some of the things that they're running away from when they abandon their previously held positions. By previously held, I mean, in many instances, a matter of weeks or months ago, as opposed to just a matter of days.
When I think of healthy, I think of the Michigan Senate race, where Haley Stevens immediately got all of the way behind Abdul El-Sayed and is now hitting the trail with him and talking about building a coalition of her voters and his voters. Of course, in primaries, it's going to get a bit nasty. There's going to be a lot of contempt. Trump had contempt for the entire Republican apparatus in 2016. Mm-hmm. But I would say that the direction we're going is good. It's a good conversation to be having. What type of candidates are we looking for? And maybe the establishment can learn a thing or two from.
And you know what? This is a massive debate developing in the Democratic Party right now. What direction do we go in? So I want to talk about that for just one second. I'm a big fan of Abdul El Sayed. I'm not personally DSA, but I really like Zohran Mamdani. When it came to Francesca Hong last night in Wisconsin, it's important to point out the MAGA opponent on the other side is a straight-up election denier who tried to overturn the 2020 election. These people are vile. I will always focus on the Republican Party first and foremost. Never mistake this as me like trying to focus on the left too much. I will always focus on the Republican Party and their danger to American democracy and American workers. The reality is, with Francesca Hong, I think she sort of shot herself in the foot with some of her past statements and videos that were on the record from just 2 or 3 years ago that she didn't sufficiently explain nowadays. If you're going to take a position a few years ago, like we should abolish prisons or abolish the police or take these, you know, more outside the box stances, then you have to explain why you've changed your mind or voters won't really trust you. Now, Francesca Hong had since denounced her past positions, but again, you lose trust when you don't sufficiently explain why you've changed your minds. And some of these positions like defund the police and abolish prisons are very unpopular, even among Democratic voters. I am totally for reforming the police to make sure that there is more accountability, more training, social service workers can be more involved. There are pragmatic ways to reform the police, require body cams, make sure there is more vetting and psychological evaluations. But the idea that abolishing prisons and the police is where we should go, I don't agree with. I don't agree with that part of the DSA platform. And I don't think candidates that run on these types of things or have said it in the past few years will be electable. Now, David Crowley, I also disagree with on a lot. I'm not some establishment shill who's always going to be going for the establishment candidate. In fact, I loved Abdul El Sayed and I am rooting for him full on. I even interviewed him a few months back in my HQ. Abdul El Sayed is a great candidate, but even he is not a DSA member. He's not a socialist. He believes in free markets. And I reject this idea that Republicans are pushing that all Democrats are currently Marxists who love communism. No, Democrats want change. We want fighter candidates. And right now, it seems to us that some of the DSA candidates like Zohran and some candidates like Abdul, who aren't DSA, are bringing that type of change. And we are willing to go for that. I mean, Abdul El Sayed is running on Medicare for all, taking money out of politics, putting money in your pocket. It is very pragmatic policy that is very, very popular. So these types of debates are very, very healthy. And they're very obviously still resonating with the base because even Francesca Hong had a massive polling advantage before the Wisconsin governor race. She was supposed to win that by 15 to 20 points, according to most polling. And it seems like at the very last minute, over the past few weeks, Wisconsin voters just weren't really trusting the campaign and decided to go for the more establishment candidate. The reality is, establishment Democrats are just as unpopular as Republicans right now among the broad electorate and even Democratic voters. We need change. We need something new. I am not going to fully embrace the DSA platform, even though I agree with some tenets of it. I agree with Medicare for all. I agree with decreasing wealth inequality. I agree with redistribution of wealth. I agree with higher minimum wage and more taxation of billionaires. I agree that we have a rigged political system due to money in politics. I do not agree, however, that we should abolish the police or abolish prisons, and I do think we need to hold the ground against some of those types of stances. So let's keep pushing for a better America every single day. That's what Abdul El Sayed is doing, and that's why Republicans are scared. I mean, look at this attack that they're levying against Abdul on Fox News. They're claiming that he wants to do away with fireworks football in the 4th of July. What?
Yep. Thanks, Sean. And thanks for highlighting what is so much, you can almost hear a collective gasp across Michigan for all the things he spends time hating on. I mean, when I go back, I want to, you know, make sure we're protecting our faith and our families and our factories and our freedoms while he's advocating doing away with our fireworks, football, the 4th of July.
Okay, I see this cute alliteration he's trying to do there, but Abdul El Sayed responded with an incredibly good shot. He said, "Since you're too afraid to debate me, how about you hold me accountable on a football field instead? Tackle, no pads, like we used to play when we were kids. I'd be happy to show you how much I love football." I love Abdul El Sayed. We need fighters. We need to keep pushing, and I'm going to leave it there. Make sure you drop a like and subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed below. I'll see you all later. Peace out.